This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations to keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
Tasty, flavorful coffee comes from thriving farms. However, long-held industry standards leave most farmers scraping by, severely limiting their ability to grow quality coffee. But together, we can change that. Our direct-from-farm sourcing eliminates the many layers usually found between the farmer and you. This results in prosperous farms with the capacity to grow exceptional coffee. And great coffee is what makes all our days brighter. We invite you to be a part of a coffee movement where everyone is lifted. Joe Bean, coffee that lifts everyone.
Live from Rochester, this is Plants of Beats.
Thank you. Teaching at Nazareth about 4 years ago, I would play lo-fi music for my students while we had journaling sessions, and it turned into a hobby. You know, I got back into music. I started making lo-fi beats, and I'm like, hey, this podcast would really be cool if it was like an old school radio show. You hear some jazzy lo-fi music, and then we pop in with, you know, some plant talk, some people talk. So I also know that I do a million different things in Rochester.
Right.
And suddenly didn't want to be Rob Bell, the music producer guy. So I'm like, I need an alias. I need another persona to kind of be the captain of this musical journey that I'm going on. And I was barbecuing one day, and I opened the hood too fast. I let a lot of air in, and I burnt my arm.
Oh.
I had a really bad burn on my arm. I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room. I mean, it hurt really bad. And the only thing that stopped me from going to the emergency room was aloe vera plant.
There you go.
Ripped off a piece of it, got some of that good aloe vera, spread it on it. It healed me instantly. It was something that stuck with me for a long time because I was just like, man, the power of plants. And like, again, I'm big on metaphors, and that metaphor that, that's what music does for me. It's a very healing medium, and it's the kind of thing that I think lo-fi music can do. A lot of people listen to it to study, to meditate, to cook, to garden. It's really one of those genres that really took shape during the pandemic where people were looking to become more mindful and just have a companion. It sucks now that music is so passive. It's such a passive medium where it's almost like the background to a lot of the things we do in the world nowadays, instead of like being in the foreground like it was when I grew up. Like a new album would come out and we would sit around and just do that, just listen. Like people don't do that anymore. But I do like lo-fi music because I feel like it has those similar qualities that plants have. So that's when the crazy name of mixing an aloe vera plant with lo-fi music turned into aloe-fi. And yes, it is pronounced aloe-fi.
as much as you can get a lo-fi a lot. Yeah. It's one. I love the story. I love the name. And yes, music can be that background thing. But for people who are on that journey, and I think at some point you might. I think my wife would be a great guest. One, she's been keeping a lot of houseplants in the house.
Okay, sure.
But she's been listening to a lot of that kind of music.
Yeah.
And it's something through her journey she's been going on recently, it has been such a positive thing.
Yeah.
For her to have that kind of, that positive energy.
For sure.
That positive energy of that kind of music around and having the plants in the house has been part of that whole thing. It's not just music. It's not just plants. It's part of that, like, hey, you're taking care of yourself.
Mm.
And, you know, she can talk about her own story, but I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing how it affects her, and that, you know, that's personal to me to see how that's affected her. And I love that that's the kind of thing, you know, the people who are creating these things, including you, like, that's going to matter to people because yeah. it's comforting. And there's a lot of negativity. Mm. Being positive is a tough thing. And sometimes you need that little push.
Yeah.
The little push of doing something positive for yourself or for your community, you know, doing the music for the community. It's not just for you.
Yeah.
Doing the plants for you, but it's for your whole family.
Yes.
It's not just for you. That matters, right? That's a great thing to be able to do.
Well, and the thing about doing for you, and we'll talk a little bit about self-care in this episode too, but I think the thing about self-care is sometimes it's seen as a selfish act.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just like, if you are part of a family, a relationship, a community, doing self-care work will benefit, like you said, will benefit the people that you are part of as well. Because you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Like yeah. you have to, as a person that is part of any relationship, whether it's romantic, whether it's, you know, parental, whether it is at work, right? Like, if I go to work and I haven't been taking care of myself, I'm going to be a shitty colleague that day.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know, if I'm hungry, if I haven't gotten enough sleep, if I've been treating my body bad the last week, I'm not going to be a pleasure to work around, you know, that week. So self-care is important to community. I think that's one thing that, you know, kind of reversing that narrative that is selfish is something that I'm big on. You make me feel something.
We'll be right back.
pothos plant. Are you familiar?
I am. There's some in the house right now.
You have some in the house right now?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. What's been your experience with the pothos plant?
Carrie takes care of all the plants. I don't touch them. I grew up taking care of plants, so I don't do the plant touching. But, you know, it's also one of the introductory plants a lot of people get as their first house plant.
Yes, and that is because it is very, very low maintenance. So I just talk about, let me talk about some key facts about the pothos plant. It's, like you said, it's a popular first plant for people. Very low maintenance house plant, heart-shaped leaves, and it has a tolerance for very low light. So that's probably why that's the first plant that a lot of people get, because it's kind of impossible to kill.
It doesn't need a ton of water.
Doesn't need a ton of water. It's ideal for beginners, like I said. Thrives on bright indirect light, but can adapt to low light, kind of like my Sony camera, which is why I love that. Key care involves watering when the topsoil is dry, using well-drained soil, and avoiding overwatering. I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make when they first get plants.
Almost always.
Is they dump a bunch of water in every plant.
Yeah.
And every plant's different.
Well, when we're talking about attention levels, right? Yeah. Like, every plant has a different watering preference.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know, like, you don't need to, like, get exact down to the percentage of, you know, anything. But it does matter. Like, it matters a lot. Some plants really don't like that much attention. They want their time. They want their space. Let them have it.
Yeah. Just like people, right? Mm-hmm. So another reason why I chose the pothos plant was something when I was doing research on it was one line that stuck out, which is going to connect to something else that I want to talk about. And that is that it thrives on neglect.
Oh, man, I love that.
It thrives on neglect. Yeah. So not only does it want its space, it needs its space to survive, right? But it's often called the devil's ivy because it's impossible to kill. But it got me thinking because there was a story, a press release that came out not too long ago that I read that URMC, University of Rochester's Medical Center, is now going to be using some of the AI features in Microsoft's PowerScribe 1 and Dragon Copilot to help them with the workflows in the radiation department.
Interesting.
So if you're not familiar, which I wasn't, right, and most people aren't unless you have a medical degree, radiation is used in so many different aspects of medical care. In order to get the correct imaging to diagnose things and basically to tell us what's going on with our bodies, right? Doctors use it all the time. But I had a chance to talk to somebody in the radiology department before this episode from URMC, and they said that the backlog, right? Like, unless it is life-threatening, if you need an MRI or a CT scan, you might not get one for 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
Because the backlog is just so crazy of people that need things. And I asked this doctor, why was that? And there's two reasons. One, there aren't a lot of radiologists, right? He says he gets job offers every other day.
I'd have to imagine. Yeah.
Right? So there just aren't a lot of doctors who can not only, who can look at these images and diagnose what's going on and do all that stuff. But the other thing he said is just people are just more sick than they've ever been, right? And that's the connection to the neglect thing, where while this plant may survive or thrive off neglect, us as people don't have the benefit of doing that. I don't know about you, but I've seen this like disturbing trend lately where, like, especially with men, and I'm going to be a lot more specific, Black men that I've seen just like drop dead in their 50s, in their 40s. I've seen it with friends of friends. And they'll be like, you know, such and such just died. And I'll be like, from what? And they'll be like, I don't know. And be like, what do you mean you don't know? He was 51 or he was 48. Like, what do you mean you don't know? It scares me because I see a lot of my friends not have a primary doctor. I'm about to be 38 in July, and I know a lot of people my age who just don't have a primary doctor. Never go to the doctor.
I'm 42. I don't have a current one right now.
It is a thing with this generation, and I'm not sure. And, even for me, it's only been the last maybe 3-4 years that I've been regularly kind of like paying attention to my health.
Mm.
I get it in your 20s, right? Like, I was an athlete in high school. I thought I was indestructible.
Of course. Yeah.
For a long time.
Oh, that's all you know, right? You got everything. Everything's ahead of you.
Yeah. And then you get in your 30s, a little ache there, a little pain here. And then something very serious happened to me. I had a bout with diverticulitis.
Oh, yeah.
You familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy one.
Oh, no. It rocked me. I had to get imaging myself, right? That process was crazy. I had a really bad infection.
Well, explain what it is, too, because it sounds just like, oh, it's just something. But no, it's debilitating.
So diverticulitis basically is an infection in your, I want to say, colon or GI tract?
Yeah, if my recollection is it's like intestines, but it's one of those things that, sometimes, so it's in the colon wall, it's inflammation or infection, small weakened pouches, the diverticula in the colon wall, and it's these intense pains.
Holes almost.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be perforations almost, and that can often require removal and surgery.
Yeah, for sure. And I wasn't familiar with how many people actually that I even know have dealt with this in silence, right?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you just get this sharp pain in your stomach, right? And it feels like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom, but nothing ever comes out.
Mm.
And for me, ironically, I had a really bad flare-up my last day at the Democratic Chronicle. It was the Friday before Memorial Day, so almost a year ago. And I'm trying to get through my last day because I have things I want to wrap up. So I'm like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right. So I go to urgent care that morning. And they're asking me all these questions, and they ran a couple tests, and they said, well, we're not able to fully diagnose it here, but it sounds like you might have diverticulitis. I've never heard of this. They're like, you should probably go to the emergency room.
Wow.
And again, I'm like, nah, I got to go home and finish work. I'm good. It's just a stomach ache. It'll pass, right?
When a medical professional says, pretty sure you should be going to the emergency room, you're like, you know what? I got a busy day.
Yeah.
I got a busy day. I'm going to hold off on that.
Again, going back to this idea of neglect, right?
Yeah.
Like just neglecting the hell out of myself on my last day, right? It's not like I'm right. even in fear that if I don't get it, I'm going to get fired. Like I'm leaving.
Right.
But it just, the pain persisted. The day ended. I'm home that night trying to watch the playoffs. I think the Knicks were playing the Pacers that night. And I'm like, literally like in pain, like hunched over. And I'm like, okay, I think it's time to go to the emergency room. I get there. I'm at Highland. It takes them 2 hours, 2.5 hours to see me. I don't know if you've been to an ER recently, but
no, I've not had the recent pleasure.
It's just, again, people are getting sicker. There's so many people who are in there. And unless you have a gunshot wound,
right?
You're not, or you're a child who is in really bad shape, you're not going to see anybody for a while. If you're in the ER, probably on a Friday night. So they finally take me back. They run all the tests, and they're like, "Yeah, you like the infection was so bad that I had a fever, and I was in the hospital for 3 days."
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Like, it's embarrassment and shame because you knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything. And I'd say that's, you know, it's one of the things that hurts most as somebody who is, you know, the responsible person.
Yeah.
Like, when I mess up something that's serious because of, oh, my brain's not right for a while and I'm ignoring something.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, whatever, right? And I just got out of something where it was like that. The shame and embarrassment that stops you from doing something,
yeah,
when you realize you're feeling the effects of it after, is that's the thing that lingers. Yes, for the sure. pain, but it's the shame and embarrassment of not taking care of it sooner.
Yes.
And ignoring what you already knew. It's not like you didn't know.
Yeah.
You knew it was a problem.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing I'm talking about, I knew was a problem.
Yeah.
And I thought about it all the time, but we didn't do anything about
it. No.
And that's the thing that you feel after. You're not feeling dumb. You're feeling shame.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's a very powerful emotion, especially for more stoic, more stable.
Yes.
That's what we do sometimes.
Yeah.
Is it's too much of that. And that's the effect that you were feeling after too, is I'm sure was, yes, the pain of the thing.
Yeah.
But it's the other side. That's the thing that hits hard.
Absolutely. Because it's just like, I still consider myself a young guy. And it was the embarrassment of like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be dealing. And like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put myself on any kind of pedestal when I say that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, as I'm talking to the doctors and I'm like, well, how can I prevent this in the future? Because I'm thinking that I did something specific. And they're like, no, you just are not in shape. and you don't eat well.
I was going to say, your intestines and your colon suck.
Yeah.
So work on that. Work on them not being bad anymore.
Yeah. And that was the smack in the face, right? Like, yeah. Oh, like, this wasn't something, like, specific that I did. This is, like, I've been living wrong.
Right.
Like, I've been putting work to the forefront of everything and thinking that I need to do this and be well at this so I can maintain, you know, the stability that I have as a father. But in the background, I've been stress eating.
Mm-hmm.
I've been not exercising. And it's a whole psychological thing, because after this, I got a nutritionist. Right. I started making appointments to see my primary doctor. You know, I talked to people about, you know, when I first started seeing nutritionists, they're like, well, you know, people are intrigued, right? Because they're like, well, how did you get that? And I'm like, well, I have health insurance.
Right.
Through my job. But I didn't know that that kind of thing is covered.
Yeah.
Up to a certain amount of visits, right?
For sure.
Like, that's something that's available to us that we don't take advantage of. And they're like, well, what did they tell you to do? I want to implement some of that stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how you eat. But after those first couple sessions, what I learned is that everything that I've liked eating my entire life sucks.
Yeah.
Every eating habit, not even the things that I eat, how I eat them.
Yeah.
I chew too fast. I eat too late.
Mm-hmm.
I eat too frequent. I eat, my portions are larger than they need to be. I shouldn't be drinking while I'm eating.
Like, Rob, I don't know anything about any of these things. None of these exist in my life in any way, shape, or form. But no, those are really hard things to work through.
Very hard.
And it's, oh boy, I've struggled with it for 20 years. You know, this is not a new thing for me. That is it's a real difficult thing get through and to work through.
Because it is lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said, like when I was in my 20s, I would go hang out. I'd be out till 2-3 in the morning, drinking tequila. I go eat a cheesesteak afterwards. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
I'm putting beef in my body and then I'm going to sleep 15 minutes later. And I start thinking about how many nights did I do that? And like,
Rob, that's healthcare right there.
And I wonder why we neglect our health in that way as people.
I mean, I can speak for myself, I think it's that same thing, is you know, I'm thinking about everything else. I'm thinking about other people.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about the things that I'm missing or messing up some other way. And that's the stuff that I keep in my head. And the first thing that goes is me.
Yes.
That's the first thing. It's the first thing that gets sacrificed. Mm. It's not, I'm not going to sacrifice somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sacrifice my work. I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, things I'm involved with other people.
Mm.
I will always sacrifice myself. That's, you know, I'm always going to do that first. And that's true. Like that's real. And that's exactly what I'm going to do every time is I'm always going to sacrifice myself first.
I think it's easier to, for most people, not all people, but for a lot of people, to let themselves down than it is to let other people down.
100%.
Even strangers.
Yeah.
Right? I'm even thinking about that day, like when I went to the hospital. I'm like, I would rather go finish editing this story to please the writer who wrote it.
Right.
My boss, the audience who may or may not give a damn about it when it comes out. I would rather go do that than to go take care of myself and go check myself in the hospital and say, hey, I still work here for the next 6 hours and I still have this on my plate, but I gotta go take care of myself right now.
Yeah.
And that's the decision I should have made in that scenario.
100%.
And I didn't.
It's all the little things ahead of that, too.
Yeah.
Right? It's all those little moments. And, you know, a lot of them are completely justified. Obviously, taking care of your kids.
Right.
You know, taking care of things to make sure everybody's good. But when you don't do all the little things up to then it's big things.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's, this has been my whole life, is always, I will always do the first thing. I will always take myself off.
Yeah.
And when I don't, when I focus and actually work on things, I do feel better. And you know what I'm also able to do? I'm able to take care of everybody else better too.
Exactly.
I'm able to take care of them better because I'm better. I'm happier. I'm bouncier, right? Like, I'm not fun. I'm never fun. But I'm bouncier, right? I can move better. I can just feel better doing the things. And that's, you know, the sacrifice is one little step, but every step matters later.
Yeah.
And even if every step doesn't build, it all builds. But you know what's also a good thing is feeling like you're trying.
Yeah.
Trying to feel better is almost as good as doing everything else, right? Because you're trying and it's not, you're not faking trying.
Yeah.
You're not saying, oh, I worked out once in 3 weeks ago. Yes. I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
It's actually doing the thing. And hey, eating fiber, eating more, you know, eating less meat, even doing all those things, all those, it's real steps. It doesn't mean you have to hate what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, You like playing basketball. Go shoot.
Yes.
Right? And you don't have to have a whole team. You don't have to have five other people with you. Bring a buddy.
Yes.
I loved pickup. You know, but I never played 5-on-5.
Okay.
I was almost just one-on-one person. I would just play with my friends.
That's awesome.
I loved it. I haven't done it forever. But you know what's a great exercise? You're running. Yeah. You're bouncing. You're also with somebody else.
For sure.
And that's a great thing to do. If you have exercise in your house, it's a great thing to do. You know what's also great? You know, the way they always described it during the pandemic, right? You know, sometimes you got to go out and just take a little fucking walk.
Yeah.
Like you're in a neighborhood. Like, that's what Fauci said. Just go out and take a little fucking walk. It's fine. But you know what? It was, you know, you go out into the neighborhood. Yeah. Just walk your neighborhood. Do 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Get a little bit outside. Just a little bit. It does matter. Feel better. Maybe you're ready to do the next thing.
You'd be surprised how much, like you said, just a walk will do. A 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
Just take a lap around the block one time, right?
Especially when you're starting.
Yeah. Like,
you don't want to go in and start trying to do CrossFit when you're not ready. Go out and take a walk.
You feel better. So before this episode happened, I was trying to get in shape. I bought a rower.
Oh yeah, that's serious business.
And I'm like, because the thing that annoys me about working out is all the different workouts you have to do for different parts of your body.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, just give me one thing. I just want to do one thing every day. And I'm like Googling, is there one exercise I could do that just takes care of all of this? And they're like, well, rowing is a full body exercise. It's you get cardio. It's like good on your joints. Yeah. You know, you're working your core. You know, it's strength training. It's all in one. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get me a rower. And I'll download the little app to do the class. And, I dive right in. Right? 30-minute class, 60-minute class. Man, after the first week, I don't think I touched that thing for another year.
Oh, that'll crank you up real good. You'll feel it.
It was like, I don't understand how people do this. Like, this is crazy. The idea of not neglecting yourself, not neglecting your body, not neglecting your mental well-being, that is a lifestyle change. And right. that's gonna take some time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best, I had a friend one time, and we was talking about nutrition, and like, you got to think about nutrition in a way where it's like, you know how, you know, if you have a kid or you have a younger cousin or somebody younger in your life, and you shield them from certain media, right. Song might come on in the car, and you're like, oh no, you can't hear that, or a movie might come on, and you're like, oh, you can't watch this, right? Like, you have to treat your body like that, right?
You said.
pothos can be neglected for a while. But most of the time you can recover. Most of the time you can recover it. Sure. And if you've been neglecting yourself a little bit, it's not too late.
Yeah.
You know, it might be farther than you want it to be. It's not too late. Not too late to work on recovering. It's not too late to try.
Yeah, for sure.
Plants and Beats is produced by Rob Bell with music by Alofar. Subscribe to stay updated and follow Rob Bell and Alofar on social media. The information is in the show description. Peace and blessings. See you next week.